Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, December 4th, 2020. On the phone lines with me is Pastor Jason Schiffo, who's the pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And I share that because, Jason, I'm always finding that new listeners are tuning in from like Springfield or Decatur or Whitehall or Beardstown or Bloomington, and they're unfamiliar with the fact that you've been a co-host with me like these 10 or so years. The last 10 years, I think, always on Friday, sometimes on Monday, sometimes with special guests. So we've had you sometimes when I've been on vacation, you've filled in with a whole week of teaching. But Pastor Jason serves as the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet and has been a regular part of this radio ministry, helping with graphics and consulting. And I don't know, I haven't had you lug arounds like, Jason, can you pick up this component here? But you've served in a number of ways, and I appreciate that and appreciate your heart for the Lord. You love studying God's Word. You love teaching. You love helping people grow and develop as Christ followers, helping all of us with our faith journey and your testimony. I love when we used to be in the studio together. One of the things maybe many of the listeners aren't aware of, but it always touched my heart, and it happened many times where you would literally well up or tear up as you passionately taught, or maybe as the conviction of the Holy Spirit was upon you as you were dividing God's Word. And I think because you so want people to grow and know the Lord, and so your heart for the unsaved, I mean, you would well up as you would speak about people maybe far from God or making poor decisions. But it always touched me just how passionate you are about God's Word and emotionally attached to wanting people to know His love. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but that always struck me. And I kind of miss seeing your face. I can still hear it in your voice and such, but having you in the room, it's been some months since we've sat in the studio face to face, but I appreciate the technology and you being available this morning as we continue with our series through this book of James.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when you give your life to something, and especially when you give your life to the gospel, and you give your life to what God is doing, it flows out of what God has done in your own life. And so, you know, just as if I was to go to a great restaurant, a really great restaurant, or to see a really great movie, you know, you want others to go and eat at that restaurant so that they can share in the joy that you felt and share in the joy that you experienced. In the same way, you want them to go sit in that theater and to experience the same kind of highs and lows and everything else that you've experienced as you watch that movie. And so we speak so passionately about restaurants and movies and maybe vacations and different things we've experienced in life. And all of those things pale in comparison to what the gospel does. So the way that Christ transforms our lives, the way that he changes our lives radically and drastically and gives us a pathway into a joy that we've never experienced before. Apart from Christ, we can't experience the joy that comes from being near to him and knowing him and feeling and walking in the promises of God and, you know, his purposes and his plans for your life and just being seeing that happen. So I'm passionate about seeing people understand who God is and to come to him with humility, come to him seeing him above all other things, and desiring nothing more than to be near to him and to know all that God has done. You know, I mean, we talk so much this time of the year about giving gifts and about, you know, the things that we want or the things that we would like to have. You know, my kids have got all these Christmas lists that are up on the refrigerator so they can help make sure that my wife and I do a good job at shopping.
Sure.
You know, but very rarely on my kids' lists are things that they need. They desperate, you know, there's not underwear on there. There's not socks. There's not a hat. There's not, you know, there's not those kinds of things. There's, you know, a new action figure or a radio-controlled car or that kind of stuff. That's what's on the list. And praise God, you know, when I think about it, God gives us what we need, not necessarily what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that's the reason why the book of John opens up in the first chapter by saying that Jesus came to his own, but they rejected him. Because they had their idea what they wanted God to give them. And God didn't give them what they wanted. He gave them what they needed, what they desperately needed. And it shouldn't have shocked them if they would have looked back in the Old Testament and seen that. And so I, too, was just like that, walking through the world prior to knowing who Jesus was and accepting him as my Lord and Savior, and thought I knew what I wanted. And never realizing, never on my list was Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? And never on my list was that I... because that's what I needed. And so often we just focus on what we want and not on what we need. And so I know that in my own life, and I've seen it so often in the lives of other people, that I'm passionate about people coming to that place where they realize, you know what, when I was steering my own ship, I just kept running it into the rocks. But what I really needed was Jesus. And watching how it not only transforms the lives of, say, one person, but it transforms the lives of their families and their coworkers and the people around them, because they begin to grow in grace. They begin to exude God's love. They begin to show forth God's forgiveness and his mercy. And it begins to change the lives of everyone around them. And so, you know, we talk so much these days about all the things that need to be different in the world. But the only thing that really is going to make a difference in the world is Jesus Christ.
And that begins with the individual. I mean, so many times we want everyone else changing and this happening, or, you know, this political party ushering in this or whatever it is. And then I always have to think, like many have stated before, begin with yourself. How are you allowing God to change you? And then through that change, maybe it'll influence your family members and your friends and neighbors and such. And you're doing something. We talked about this off air just before we began this broadcast, but I love the fact, and I couldn't believe you were still doing it. And I think you said you're in Isaiah now, but tell us about the progress and what is being understood and taught and modeled through a series of phone calls, I guess, that's happening Sunday night through Thursday night.
So I can take zero credit for this. My wife was the one who started it all. Is that when COVID started, when the quarantine started and the lockdown started, that we didn't want to lose track of our family. You know, we could see that was going to happen, that could happen. And so we wanted to find some way to pull and keep our family close. And so we said, listen, we're getting on all these Zoom meetings for all kinds of other things, for Bible studies and for all these things. Why don't we leverage that technology for our family? And so we just threw it out there that we wanted to meet with our family every night at 8 o'clock and to read the Bible for 40 minutes. You get 40 minutes free on Zoom each night. And so we got on there and we started with the book of John. You know, we just said, well, let's just read the book of John. So we read the book of John, and we had our family, my wife's parents, her brother and sister, you know, great-grandparents, everybody on there. And we read through the book of John, and we got to the end of the book of John, and everyone said, can we continue?
And the reading was like from Samuel on up, everyone had a few minutes to read. It was kind of pretty simple.
Everybody takes about 5 minutes, depending on the length of the passage. Sometimes it's a chapter. Sometimes it's a half a chapter. Again, it just depends on how long it is and, you know, and how hard it is. When we got to the genealogies, everybody read a little shorter because everybody was just trying to get through the names and figure that out. But we have, since the beginning of quarantine till now, we have read as a family from age 7 to age 90, John through Revelation, and Genesis, and last night we're in the middle of the book of Isaiah. And I'll tell you some amazing things. Number one is that everybody reads. And so you get to hear everybody, you get to hear 90-year-old granddad reading the scripture from the King James. And you get to hear Samuel reading the scripture, you know, at 7 years old. And you get to just marvel at the fact that he's, you know, trying to get through these names or trying to read these big words and trying to understand these things. And you get to hear, I think that's disciple making. It's generational. You get to hear older folks who are just passionate about the Bible, reading the Bible. And you get to hear younger folks who are fumbling through, you know, their first steps in the reading the Bible. And it just kind of humbles some of us, and at the same time, it encourages all of us. And so there's that part that's awesome. The other part is that you just don't realize the power of listening. And so I shared with you earlier that I have more notes and notations and highlights in my Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, than I ever have had, because I'm spending so much time, you know, 30, 40 minutes just listening. And it's amazing what things jump out of the page when you're not reading, but you're just listening. You know, in the book of Revelation, there's only one blessing that really is clearly laid out in the Bible, and that is the blessing of hearing the word being read. You know, blessed is the one who hears this word read aloud. And so as we're listening to the word being read aloud, it's amazing. Another amazing thing that's happening to this, people don't miss. In fact, my mother-in-law had these a number of weeks ago had some days where she had to work late and she wasn't able to get on the call. And she was upset. She called my wife and said, can you guys, like, can we take a couple days off? Because I'm missing and I don't want to miss. And lastly, is we've got some friends of her parents who are now on the call. And so as my wife's parents were sharing, oh, we get together, read the Bible every night on the phone. They're like, how can we get in on that? And now they're doing it with us. And so it's just so amazing to do something so simple. We open up the Bible. We're not studying it. We're not exegeting it. We're not, well, this Hebrew word means this, and this concept is this, and this. We're just reading it.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing. And we're reading all of the, you know, all of the difficult parts, all of the hard parts. You know, and sometimes I think in the providence of God, God does some pretty funny things, because he lands people in places that are like, confounds them. I mean, Samuel was in the Psalms, and it was his job to read the passages. So blessed is the one who dashes his children upon the rock.
When
we got done reading that, he's like, Dad, what does that mean? What does that mean? And just at the beginning of this past week, we were reading as a family, again, from 7 years old to 90 years old, the Song of Solomon. And the funny thing is, we're doing it on Zoom, so you can see everybody's face. And so you can see these faces like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, and you hear, and my son, who's 15, you know, we're reading the Song of Solomon, and he's turning red. He's like, Dad, oh my God, Dad, oh. And I'm like, it's in the Bible. I'm like, you know what, son? God wants you to know about intimacy and about sexual relations, and he wants you to understand how to do that rightly. And so he's given us this to do. And so there's so many wonderful things that happen through this. And it is such a simple thing, but it's been powerful.
Yeah.
And we're no better than anybody else. We stumble over the names. We have trouble with some of the passages. But it's really beautiful, and nobody wants to miss. Everybody grabs their Bibles at like 7:50, and they're like, we got to read.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's a time to connect. It's a time where we get to look and say, hey, how are you doing today? Hey, you know, Samuel shows maybe a new thing that he got from the store, or somebody shares what they made or something. But we just take about 5 or 6 minutes, and we just make a connection.
Yeah.
And it's actually made our family stronger. And when I say our family stronger, not just our family within the four walls of our house, but our extended family too.
And I wanted to share that and highlight that today to get people maybe thinking, you know, I know the busy times are ahead with everything going on, and yet a lot of things are shut down, and it might be something that I just wanted to plant the seeds that it was something that you thought was initially going to be, okay, we'll read through this one book. Well, the whole New Testament. I mean, that's a lot of reading. Well, now, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you're all the way to Isaiah, and it's like, this is unbelievable, and it's a very simple thing that people can do, because if people say, well, you know, oh, I don't have the time, okay, make it a 10-minute call. Make it just reading 15 verses with the family. And so I'm just hoping a lot of people are going to think to themselves, you know, we can do that. We can figure out how to use Zoom and how to connect and designate a certain time. Maybe it's 8:30, maybe it's 9, maybe just start and do it on Saturday afternoon, you know, once a week. But it just seems like God has been doing some wonderful things, and you can't ever go wrong reading God's word and allowing it to influence and affect your mind and heart.
Right. And if people are thinking right now, you know, if you're listening right now and you're thinking, well, 40 minutes? I mean, I don't have 40 minutes. You're exactly right, Mark, because we use 40 minutes, but we have now like 15 people on this call.
Yeah.
But if you just have a couple of folks, I mean, you could get on for 10 minutes and say, hey, you know what, you read this chapter and I'll read this chapter. You know, you're at 8 or 9 minutes tops, you know, because some chapters are very small and, you know, they're not very long. You're surprised at how fast you can read, you know, a book of the Bible.
Yeah.
And so there's the opportunity there, you know, just as big as you want it to be. We never thought it would still be going on, and we never thought that we would have all these extra people in on it either. But, you know, the party's gotten bigger, and nobody wants to stop it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is the most beautiful thing, is nobody wants – in fact, it's like we keep having to figure out how to rearrange the rest of our life around it. You know, 'cause normally now we're in Advent, so we would read our Advent book as a family. And so we're like, okay, wait a second. We normally would read the Advent book at this time, but now we're doing the Bible reading. So do we have to set aside the Bible reading? Everyone's like, no!
Yeah.
So now we read the Advent book like right after we get done eating dinner, so that we can get to make sure that we're, you know, ready for Bible reading. And so nobody wants to stop it. From 7 to 90, nobody wants to stop it. And one of the things, you know, last word that I'll say on this is that one of the things that my wife and I have really tried to impress upon our kids, and I really think they're getting it, is that, you know, when their 90-year-old grandfather, great-grandfather, and when their 89-year-old great-grandmother reads the Bible, we're at a point right now where we don't know if that might be the last time.
Hmm.
And so it is such a blessing and a joy that the last words we may hear from granddad or the last words we may hear from grandmother will be them reading God's word.
Hmm.
And that's a huge blessing, because there are a lot of times with folks, you know, that you don't get that everyday constant hearing their voice at this point in their life, but towards the end of you know, their time on earth before they pass into glory. And so it's such a blessing, and our kids have really come to the point of understanding that it's such a blessing to be able to hear their 90-year-old great-grandfather reading the Bible, because we don't know how much time God's going to keep them on the earth for.
Right.
You know, we're hoping it's through the end of the Old Testament.
You know, I'm thinking.
Because he's got the King James, and so nobody else has the King James.
Yes.
And so every time, you know, this is a joke for any of you King Jamesers out there, but anytime the word donkey shows up in the King James, my 7-year-old son just laughs out loud.
Yeah. Oh, that's classic. Oh, gosh, and I'm thinking, how many parents right now could maybe call up their parents, so the grandparents or great-grandparents, and say, you know, hey, Mildred, hey, Uncle Tom or whoever, can we set it up where you're going to just read to our children or grandchildren for so many minutes? And I think that would not only encourage the grandparents or great-grandparents, but it would be such a blessing to the grandkids. And I'm hoping some adults, some family members are thinking, we need to get grandma or great-grandma on the phone to start this practice. Well, our practice on Fridays also is reading James, so let me just cover maybe one verse. It's chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who loved him? Do we even try in 3 minutes to highlight something out of that verse? Listen, my dear children, maybe we all just need to listen to what God's saying to us through the example of his scripture being read, and how to include that as a regular pattern that's something we do as a family. I don't know.
How many minutes do we have?
3 minutes.
Three?
Yeah, three and a half, give or take 20 seconds.
Well, before we even get to verse 5, Mark, let's just recount, since we only have 3 minutes, what God has already said through the book of James. And that we're not to show any partiality. And sometimes I think when it comes to getting on the phone, for us at least, and reading the Bible, is that you could say, well, you know, let's not have him read that passage because he's too young.
Hmm.
Or let's minimize that passage because, you know what, when granddad reads, he slurs a little bit his speech, and sometimes it's hard to understand him. And it's so easy for us to show partiality instead of saying, you know what, this thing is going to be a little messy. This thing called God's people, called God's church, the gathering of God's people, however that might be in Zoom or in a house or in a building called the church, it's going to be a little messy. It has people from all sizes and shapes and stripes and that. And there will be people who read perfectly, and there will be people who read imperfectly, and there will be people who fudge the names and flub on the passages, and there will be people who slur their speech a little bit.
Hmm.
But everybody in the eyes of God is equal. God doesn't love one person more than he loves another person. And God can be glorified by even the smallest or the tallest.
Hmm.
the youngest or the oldest. And so one of the things that I think that we've learned through this time of reading the Bible is that there are some really beautiful and wonderful things that happen. I shared this, you know, my son, and I'm partial because he is my son, but he was reading out of the book of Isaiah earlier in the week. You know, we're in the middle of the book of Isaiah. But he was reading out of Isaiah, and he came to that passage in Isaiah 9, you know, for to us a child is born and to us a son is given. And hearing a seven-year-old voice read that, I found in tears. And God used that powerfully to remind me that it wasn't a man that was given to us, you know, because we think of Jesus kind of fully grown and fully capable and full. No, my son was reading about a son that was given to us. And Jesus, probably just like my own son, read imperfectly and kind of cut the ends off of his T's and read his S's like, you know, and it was powerful for me to hear that. And I would not have had that blessing had I said, well, let's only let the best of the best read. In the same way, in the Psalms, my great-granddad was reading about honoring those whose gray is a crown of wisdom. And I thought, what a blessing it is to hear that from somebody who indeed wears that crown. And so, you know, that wouldn't happen if we were partial and only let the best of the best read and only let those who are going to get it all right and who are going to do it perfectly do it. And so God blesses us in the midst of it with this great diversity called the church, where we're all in this together, no matter how good and right and well we do it all.
Yeah. And I love that, too. I'm thinking of those people that are maybe single or live alone and are thinking to themselves, well, I don't have family, or I'm in a situation I can't just call someone up. Yeah, you can call someone up. You can call up a friend, a neighbor, and just begin the practice of reading together over the phone. If because of social distancing and the COVID, you can't get out, then there is a phone. There are mechanisms or means to still communicate, and we would highly encourage it and be in God's Word and, you know, this book of James, the Gospel, begin at Genesis. There's the Psalms and the Proverbs. There's great portions in this whole book that we call the Holy Scriptures that God will use to touch your lives. And we highly recommend it. And thank you, Jason, for being available. We got to go. Blessings to you and all the pastors that will be proclaiming and dividing God's Word this Sunday. Pray up your pastor and think about who you might start reading Scripture with. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.